Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on. Welcome to the show. This is going to be a great show today, guys. We fixing some technical stuff going on right now, but welcome to the show. Number to call is 515-602-9653. You are definitely live in the day with Jay.
And Trey.
And we are getting ready to take you on a journey in Gastonia, and I know you guys are really, really, really going to like what you hear, what you see. For those of you that will be looking at us on Facebook, I can't wait to expose this guest to you. I promise you it'll be well worth the wait, and it will be something that you will remember. It'll be something that you'll be seeking out. For those of you in Gastonia, I promise you, you'll be seeking this place out. Number to call is 515-602-9653. Guys, we're going to take a couple of quick commercial breaks, play a little bit of music, and we'll be right back. You guys are definitely, definitely live in the day with she late, y'all.
Everybody works out of their own bags. Can you understand that? I can understand. Go ahead and sing. Hey.
Something sweet as a candy bar.
Understand it. I can understand.
I can deal with up the hill.
Baby,
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay.
Welcome back to the show. We got some feedback going on here. All right, welcome back to the show. Number to call is
515-602-9653.
All right, guys. Like I said before, we're battling a little bit of technical difficulties here, but we're going to get through it. Welcome to the show today. We got a lot to talk about. We got a very special guest. We're in a special place. We're broadcasting the show live here at Fannie Cake in Stonia, North Carolina. And I and my lovely wife are joined by the incomparable Miss Stephanie Roundtree, the sole proprietor and owner of Fannie Cake. And Miss Roundtree, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank
you for letting us come here.
Yes.
One of my ideas.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, there she go.
You guys are always welcome.
Another one of your ideas.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's her idea, y'all. It's her idea. I'm going to give her all the credit and all the praise. That's what she do. Make me look good.
Yes.
No, we make look each other look good.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, Ms. Roundtree, welcome to the show. Just real quick, you guys, make sure that you tune in to our Facebook Watch tomorrow night, 6 o'clock p.m. We will have the first episode of Shop Talk Season 3 featuring none other than Miss Stephanie Roundtree. We have done a very, very good Shop Talk show with her, and you're going to like the show. You're going to love the show, and I promise you there's lots of information that you're going to find on that show. So tomorrow, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, on Facebook Watch, you guys will all get to see the opening of Season 3 for Shop Talk with Miss Stephanie Roundtree, Fannie Cakes in Gastonia, North Carolina. Now, in saying all that, it's a tongue twister. Why aren't you saying any of this?
I was
to
myself, wow, Season 3 of Shop Talk. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Season 3.
Okay.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yes, that's all it's like. Anyway.
Okay. All right, guys, for those of you that have been on Mars and don't know what's going on, we are joined by Miss Stephanie Roundtree, who is the owner of Fannie Cakes here in Gastonia, North Carolina, who has taken everybody's mouth and, well, should I say palates?
Okay.
Palates by storm, yeah. Yeah, I learned that on Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Palate, yeah. Palate. Everybody's palate by storm here in Gastonia, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about this place being here in Gastonia. So, Ms. Roundtree, if you can, introduce yourself to my radio world and my Facebook family watching, your family watching, whoever else is watching.
I know.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
James said, I'm Stephanie Roundtree. I'm the owner of Fannie Cake Bakery Cafe, actually, downtown Gastonia. I've been here for 5 years, and I moved here from Atlanta, originally from California, and I'm just here to serve the community with good food, with good pastries. I just try to do it all. I just try to give the community what they want. So that's why I'm here. I've been sent here to serve a purpose with the gifts and talents that I've been blessed with, which is cooking and baking. So I plan to do that to the full extent of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
And every day is a day of enhancement. I try to do something every day to try to hands what it is that I'm trying to do. And the ultimate goal is to serve the community with good food and have everybody welcome in Fanny Cake's spaces.
Now, this journey wasn't an easy journey for you,
no,
was it?
No, no, it didn't. No, it didn't happen overnight, you guys. And I know when you come in to eat and you take our food and you may think that, you know, okay, oh, wow, this is good, you know, think that it happened overnight. It didn't happen overnight. I mean, it started, and it's actually, I don't mind telling my age because age is just a number. I'm 53 now. So this started when I was 16.
Wow.
So I have put some time, some sweat, some blood and tears and all of that, struggling and juggling. And I've gone through evictions. I've gone through repossessions. I've gone through $0 in the bank. I've gone through a whole host of things. I've gone through divorce. I've gone through losing equipment. I've gone through, and I hate to talk about this part, but I'm very transparent, but, you know, you couldn't know. But I've gone through some obstacles that people would probably be in a crazy house.
Wow.
After going through it, you know, things that I've gone through that required therapy.
Mm.
I mean, heavy therapy, you know, as a young teenager, you know, I've gone through rape, I've gone through molestation, I've gone through, and I have to look at it and say, why am I still here? You know, how did I get through all that? And still doing what I do. I'm still standing.
That's right.
And I didn't crack. I didn't break. I wasn't in a psychiatric home. I never did any time in jail for anything, you know. But I've always had this block, this, I don't know, that I, in this mask that I would hide behind. Because I felt like I wasn't worthy. You know, I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed. And I said, I mean, I don't know who to talk to. I don't know who to go to. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And people would always tell me, you know, we want to talk to you, but you look unapproachable. You know,
wow.
You always look mean. You always look angry. You always look like you're mad.
Going back to that, don't judge the book by its cover.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? But deep down inside, you guys, I'm the sweetest person you ever meet.
Yes, she is, y'all.
I am the sweetest person you will ever meet until you decide you want to
see the other side. That's right.
See that other side. I only show what I need to show.
That's
it's
right.
It's not that it's not in me, and I'm not perfect. I'm not a saint. I'm a work in progress. But at the same time, I know when to turn things on and turn things off.
Right.
So, you know, it tells you that in the Bible. There's a time for everything. You know, there's a time to cry. There's a time to mourn. There's a time, okay, to be angry, you know.
That's right.
But do not sin in your angry, you know.
That's right.
And so I've learned that. But going back to how I got started, back when I was 16, coming straight out of high school. And, you know, my thoughts were, you know, what every other graduate wanted coming out of their senior year, you know, is to go to college. Now, I'm going to college. You know, I'm going to go to El Camino College, two-year college, and I'm going to do X, Y, Z. Didn't know what I wanted to study. You know, had no idea. And so what I wind up doing is following behind my girlfriend, my best friend. She was going into criminal justice. I said, okay, well, we're going to go to criminal justice together then, girl. You know, because I want to go where you going. I'm like, but I'm just going because I wanted to go to college. And that was the bottom line. So we wound up going to Santa Monica College, and I'm in class. I don't know what I'm studying on, and it didn't grab me. It was just, it wasn't exciting enough for me. So the college thing did not work out. I think I went maybe a month, and it was like, I don't want to do this. You know, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
So it was my dad's idea to open up a family business, which happened to be a fish market in California. And we was, you know, the whole family was like, a fish market?
What yeah. I'm waiting on you to add that element here.
I'm like, fish. You know, I'm going to school. So anyway, so he bought this fish market, and it was called Captain Fish. And it was, you know, in the heart of Inglewood, where we grew up at, where I went to school at. And
Inglewood.
And that's where, that's where it was, on Century Christian. I remember it like it was yesterday. And so he came up with this idea. He had the whole concept put together, you know, because he worked with meat, you know, in the grocery stores and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he found this place, and I think it was originally a fish market. It didn't work out. And we opened up this fish market, and he said, "You going to run it." And I said, "Huh? Uh-oh. No."
Yeah, he told you was going to run it.
He told me I was going to run it. So I'm like, "Well, what about, excuse me, what about my older sister and then my young?" Because I was middle child. And he said, "You're going to run this fish market." And I said, "Well, okay." So that's what I got to do. That's what I got to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Didn't know the first thing about any fish.
Uh-oh.
But he trained me by him working in me. I need some water. He, by him working with me, he trained me to do everything that I needed to do, you know. In this fish market. So here I am, 16, coming straight out of high school, running a fish market. My dad worked, my mother worked, my older sister went to, was working and going to school. My younger sister was still in school, and I was a middle child.
Wow.
He showed me how to go downtown and purchase a fish, negotiate with the owners to get the best price on the fish. I had to pick the fish up, load it up in the van, bring it back to the shop, set it up in the display case, and I had it open by 10 o'clock.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot.
Okay. And
that's
did
a lot.
Everything fresh from scratch. And that's why I'm so big on scratch, because that's where I learned scratch.
Mm.
We did our own fresh potatoes, potato salad, coleslaw, everything. And my dad would call every morning from where he was working. Are the doors open?
Oh, he's making sure.
He said it's 10 o'clock. And I'm like, I had to clean, make sure the front was clean. All the fish was in the case, nice and pretty. Had to be in there a certain way. And I said, "Yes, the doors are open." I'm the only one in here.
Oh, my God.
I ain't had no help. I ain't had no workers. It wasn't no workers. I worked the front and the back.
He was keeping you accountable. He was holding you accountable.
He was holding me accountable. And I learned all this stuff from working in that fish market, and it was a successful fish market. Everybody came to this fish market, and long story short, the fish market, we closed up, you know, and during this time while we had the fish market, my grandmother, Grandma Fanny, she passed during the time we had the fish market, and that was a heartbreak, you know, for her to pass. And during that time, it was a really sad time, and I miss my grandmother to this day. And I remember calling me every January 13th on my birthday at a certain time. The phone would ring, and I would hear it, and I said, "That's grandma." You know, she'd say hi to my dad and all that stuff, and then she asked for me, and I put the phone, and I say, "Hey, Grandma Fanny," and she'd say, "Happy birthday," and I just, it was just, to this day, I don't get that call. I don't get that phone call. And she passed and she's 58. And
wow.
I was just like, I still want the phone call. So this is the way that I'm remembering my grandmother, by having Fanny cakes. And so we transitioned from the fish market. So Captain Fish is history now.
We'll
move on years down the line. My dad retired. Well, yeah, he actually, you might as well say he retired, or he left his retail job working in meat. 1995, he came down, went down to Atlanta, found a meat market of his own, and he opened up a meat market in Atlanta. And that was the first location. So he wound up opening up a second location because it was going to be the soul of the family, and it was called Round Trees Quality Meat in Atlanta. And, so we had always been a close family.
Right.
It's five of us, you know, mom, dad, three daughters. And we had never been separated. You know, it was kind of devastating when he picked up and said, I'm moving to Atlanta because I'm going to open up this meat market. And my mother was still working. And she was like, Atlanta? I mean, come back to the South.
Right, right.
No, we ain't been there in the South in years. So he said, well, I'm going. And if you coming, you need to come on.
Uh-huh.
She had her job yet. He went. He got stuff set up, got shop set up. Next thing you know, my mother went.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, my older sister went. No, the baby sister went first.
Mm-hmm.
She left. Then my older sister left.
And you were still sitting put.
And I'm like,
I got to make a move.
I don't want to go to no Atlanta. Why I got to go, you know? And so I said, well, because it started getting lonely. You know, mm-hmm. Christmas, the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so used mm-hmm. to the family being together. I'm like, no turkey smelling in here and ain't nothing going on in here, you know. Where the family at? But I stayed in the house that they left, and that's when I started trying to do my own business from the house. I started baking from there.
Wow.
And I started selling sweet potato pies for the holidays and all kind of different desserts that I was doing. And I did that with very little money because I was working temp jobs and all that stuff. Come on, I'm going to open up my own business.
Mm-hmm,
I'm
mm-hmm,
baking cakes. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what I was doing, child. But when I worked on the jobs, people, I would bring cookies to work. And it was like, oh, these are so good, you need to sell them. So I said, okay, cookies, they like. And pastry, I like doing pastry, so yeah, we're gonna start selling desserts, just all out the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to sell something. So the pies got popular, and I wound up getting sick, and I mm-hmm. it's so funny, I remember it like it was yesterday. I had chicken pox.
Oh wow.
I tell you, I was baking for the holiday with chicken pox. I got calamine lotion all on my arms. And I got all these orders I got to fill.
Wow.
And I'm in the store going to go buy more ingredients. And I got pink spots all over me. And I'm sick. And I got fever. And I'm just...
Oh, you had it bad.
Yeah, I had it bad. And, you know, because you're older. You weren't a kid no more. But you
right.
got chicken pox. So I was determined to get these desserts out. I had pink little boxes and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had to deliver. I baked, packed, and delivered and all this stuff. So, okay. This ain't going to work. You know, this just not going to work. I have another son. They're 10 years apart. I have a boy and a girl twin. They're 30, and the one son, he's 20. The twins were with me during that time, and it was kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
It was really rough because I was really trying to make it, you know. And my dad is the type of person that says, yeah, you could stay in this house, but you got to pay some rent.
Mm. Oh, say that again.
You got to pay some rent.
Mm.
You know, you can't just live up in here for free.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So I'm in the house. They all in Atlanta. And I'm in the house trying to struggle to pay this $800 a month because the note was $1,600.
Ooh, boy.
He said, we'll pay the $8, and you pay your $8, and you can stay there. That ain't work.
That didn't work at all.
I came up short on my $800.
I probably would come up short on mine, too.
And he had to fill in. He had to fill in. And I got a phone call, and he said, you can't pay the rent. You can't stay there. My dad evicted me.
What?
He had a property man running the house. You got to go. She came knocking on the door. She said, your daddy said, you can't stay here if you can't pay the rent. He going to put the house up for sale.
Wow.
And that's how he was.
Wow.
It was tough love. And so.
Yeah, that's real tough.
Long story short on that, he put that house up for sale, and I had to go.
Wow.
That's how I got out. And I had stuff. It was all the stuff in the house, some of the stuff that they left. I remember like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my girlfriend and another friend, we didn't put everything out on the line, girl. We didn't have a yard sale. We was trying to get this stuff sold because we had to empty the house.
Right.
Because he was putting up the sale and they had to get cleaned. They had to get out. So we had a yard sale. Folks were coming out. How much is this? $1. How much is that? $1?
Dollar.
How much is that? $1? We talking just get rid of it. Just
yeah,
make,
yes,
whatever
yes,
you want.
Yes.
Y'all want the shower curtain?
Yeah.
Now that too. We were selling everything. And so I packed up and that was the last time that I saw California, that a place that I thought I would never leave.
Wow.
It was my home.
Yeah.
You know, born and raised there for 30 years. And so here I am now in Atlanta. 1999.
A distant land. Hold out right there. Let me go to a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to pick up in Atlanta. Now we're going to pick up in Atlanta. Number to call is 515. Y'all, she getting better. She getting better, y'all. She getting better. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
And Trey.
All right, we'll get back in a minute, guys.
Someone forgot to boost.
Excuse me. I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, my daughter's in your art class.
Sister Mary Catherine.
Yes.
Minute Maid enhanced with a 5-nutrient boost. Put good in, get good out.
Mentors Inspiring Males for Success provides new hope for males ages 6 through 17 in the Gaston County and surrounding areas. Mentors Inspiring Males for Success strives to inspire participants to spiritually, mentally, and culturally grow to achieve personal and social accountability. For more information, contact Glenn Bratton at 704-524-4058. Again, that's 704-524-4058. Mentors Inspiring Males for Success. Gastonia's Hope for the Future.
What's up, my people? This is Big Easy from K-Cup Records. You're listening to Live in a Day with J Radio Show. Keep your heads ringing.
You are now listening to Live in a Day with J.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is
515-602-9653.
That number again.
515-602-9653.
She's getting better, y'all.
He's trying to catch me. I'm sorry.
She's getting better. She's getting better. All right, guys. For those of you that are just joining us, we have been talking to Miss Stephanie Roundtree, who is the owner of Fanny Cakes in Gastonia, North Carolina. She's been telling us this remarkable journey. And I hope it can give someone out there a little oomph in their step when they want to step out and become an entrepreneur, you know, because we know it's not easy. Trust me, it's not easy. But we know that. And she is telling us her journey, which is absolutely remarkable. So when we left off, you left California and you're in the ATL now.
In the ATL, 1999. When I touched down in ATL.
That's a good year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I touched down, I said, I want to go back home. I don't want to be here. And, well, I wound up in Atlanta, and I never went back. I did 18 years there. So from 1999, from me saying that I want to go back home, I wound up being there for 18 years.
Wow.
And 18 years was a journey. So through that whole 18 years, I worked the family business there, which was the meat market that my dad opened up.
Oh.
So it was a family business.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, my dad, my two sisters, and myself. And when I came there, I got there, I will say, May. Yes, I remember to this day because I promised my twins, because my twins were already gone.
Mm-hmm.
They had left. My aunt, their godmother, took them, and because, you know, I was trying to figure it out in California. I was, you know.
I get it. I get it.
Kidless. And now I can, you know, I'm going to hang out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
play around a little bit, you know, so the kid's gone. But I had promised my kids, because I cried like a baby when they got in that car to head to that airport. I cried like a baby.
Oh, I can only imagine.
For my kids. I promised my kids I would be there for their 7th birthday, and that was 1999. And I showed up, and I was there. I think I got off the plane May, because their birthday was May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got off that plane May 19th, I want to say. May 20th, I had on a white meat coat and some red sweatpants because
mm-hmm.
I was at work.
You sound like people I see at the flea market.
And I said, wait a minute, I just got here. I got to go to work already. My dad.
Oh, he wasn't having it. He was not having it.
I didn't get a chance to rest, to go feel the place. Out, I'm in a new environment.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work. Mm. And you have to be here at 7. Well, we don't open till 10. Mm. You're going to be here at 7. Because you got to know what to do.
That's right.
You got to figure out this meat case. And you got to stock those shelves. And you got to face the freezer case. And you got to wipe down. And you got to mop the floor.
Wow.
Wow. This man got too much military in him. I don't know if I don't want to do this, you know. First of all, I live with you, but
because I don't have my own place when I get here.
Right.
And then I got to work, too. And I'm grown now. I'm 30-something. And I don't want to do some of this stuff that's going on in here because meat is not my thing. I bake.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, now that you're in the meat market, you're going to do meat. Mm, this is what you're getting ready to do. And, well, what's my pay going to be? You know, how much I'm going to get paid? Am I getting paid? You know, yep, you're going to get paid. $6.50. I ain't never worked for no $6.50. How am I going to live off of that? You don't need to because you stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need no place. You $6.50. Child, when I tell you I get my check, the first check, and everything was written out. And my sister did the book. And I said, what's this line for? What's this line for? And I go down the line and I say, it says daycare.
Uh-oh.
He just subtracted that out. I said, what's the daycare for? Oh, Dad said that he paid for your kid, the twins for daycare, so he taking that money out, getting that. I said, well, by the time I get my money, I'm not going to, I mean, because all these deductions.
Yes.
And that's how he was, you know. Did I like it? No. Do I thank him now? Yes.
There's a method behind the madness.
It was a reason.
That's right.
Behind the way he did things.
That's
why
right.
Why he did things. It wasn't that, you know, I'm hating on you. I don't love you. It was nothing like that. It was like, this is the way the real world works.
Oh, yes.
And you're going to learn it that way. So as you go through life, you will understand those things are not free.
Yes.
You got to learn those lessons.
That's right.
It's going to help you grow.
That's right.
And it did. And it helped me grow. So now I'm working in the meat market. Really don't like it. I want to do pastries. I want to sell stuff. I want to sell food. Food is my thing. That's what I want to do. Okay? So now I'm hustling.
Uh-oh. Okay.
My kids are in middle school. And I've been moved out. I don't live with them no more. Because
mm-hmm.
he say, when we come home from the meat market, your mother needs her kitchen. And you can't be up in here baking red velvet cakes all in the way.
Okay.
I love red velvet.
So I had to say, okay, it's time for me to go. I need to go. I can't. There's too many rules. So
yeah.
Now I'm out. I move out.
Where we headed to now?
Still in Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm just in my own place.
Okay.
You know, and actually, they moved out, and I kept that house too. I was staying in that house too. You ain't paying no rent there either, so you got to go.
Wow.
Go get your own. You can't be sitting up in here not paying no rent.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in another place, and I'm in hustle mode. I'm selling food trays out of my trunk. I started at the kids' school with the faculty and all
wow.
that. So now I'm at my own place, and I'm making food. And they calling in orders. And they calling in orders like I'm a short order cook.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get grilled onions on my sandwich? Can I? No. Well, okay, y'all doing too much. I can't do all this by myself, okay? We're going to get the sandwich the way I got it on the menu, okay? Stop adding stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do all that. I'm not equipped to do all that. So anyway, so now that's what I'm doing. I'm in hustle mode. I'm selling out the trunk. I'm rolling up at the schools, and I'm popping the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, Steph, what you got today? Okay, I'll take one of those. Okay. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to hustle like that. Okay, so years go by. And now I'm moving from place to place because I'm
mm-hmm.
evicted out this place.
Mm-hmm.
Same pattern going on.
Mm-hmm.
You want to run a business, you have no capital.
Mm-hmm.
You have no cushion money put away. You have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stringing it. You know, you're stringing it. You're working these little jobs and getting that little money and you're trying to do this and that and the other, but it's still not working
mm-hmm.
because you didn't listen to your father when he said, you cannot run your own business without any money.
Right.
Without a plan.
You don't
have a plan
mm-hmm.
to execute. You're just doing it off the top of your head and just
winging it.
Yeah, winging it. You can't do it like that. So I said, well, I'm going to try anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep going. And that's what I did. So year after year after year, I just kept doing it because I knew that's what the gift I was given to do. It was food.
Mm-hmm.
And it was serve people because I liked the way the people looked, their expressions when they had the food and they were happy in it. I said, okay, that makes them happy. So mm-hmm. this is what I want to do. That's my gift, and that's what I'm going to stick to. So as you go by, I'm getting older. The kids are getting older, and now I'm looking, okay, I want to build them.
I want to
be in the building.
Okay.
I want to sling my car.
That's right.
I want people to come to me and eat my food,
mm-hmm.
okay? So now this is, we done got through the 90s. Now we in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So around 2000, I'd say right between 2003, 2004, it was introduced to me that, now this is Darius, my youngest son, the
mm-hmm.
two-year-old, his father, because him and twins have two different fathers. His daddy gave me some information about a culinary school. And he said, this program is free.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take it and go. Call these people. And I called the people up, and they had all these rules and regulations. You couldn't hold a regular job because this is an eight-hour thing, 5 days a week. You got to be here, da-da-da-da-da. And not knowing what it really was, a 16-week program going through the Atlanta Community Food Bank
mm-hmm.
is there was a program that they had for people who were in transition.
Okay.
And these people are in transition. They're coming out of the jail system.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming from shelters, or they're coming from rehab centers and all that. And so I was amongst all these people because that wasn't my condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I was there too. Because I couldn't afford to go to a big culinary school, the Cordon Bleu and all that, you know. So I said, okay, I'll take this 16-week program. I need to get the kitchen knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get the lingo. I need to learn the verbiage, you know, how they talk and how they do what they do in the kitchen. And that's what I did. I went to this 16-week program. They had a mentorship. They had life skills. They had that. So I learned all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Went to an externship at a country club in Druid Hills, and that's where I got the skills to learn, the real skills to
yeah.
learn how to bake on a professional level.
Yeah, not out the box.
Not out the box and all
not
that
out the box,
stuff.
Y'all.
They was, I mean, this kitchen that they put me in and the kitchen that I came from through the community food bank, it was scratch.
Mm.
That's all they did. They didn't know nothing about no
box.
Can box,
yeah.
all this kind of stuff. So, you know, when I go into this externship at this country club, and it's like, okay, I'm thinking I'm going straight to the bakery. I'm going straight to the bakery because
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to do. I want to bake. I'm going to bake.
Right.
Mm-mm. No, you're going to start over here. And I said, that's the pantry. That's where they prep and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you're getting ready to learn first.
That's what you had
okay?
to learn.
You
yeah.
go on this station first. Okay, so I finished that. Learn how to prep and do all that. Okay, now you go here. That's the grill. I don't want to do the grill. I don't want to do that.
Hmm.
Okay, so I go in the grill. And they like, you got to learn every area in this kitchen. Can't just jump over here and jump over there.
Yeah.
That's how you train. Mm-hmm. So now I go to the grill. I've been to the butcher station. I've been to the banquet station. I learned the catering side of it. I learned all of that. And the butcher station, they didn't like me on there because they didn't think that I knew how to
cut meat.
Mm.
And so I'm cutting meat and I'm breaking it down. I'm scaling fish and I'm breaking down the chicken. I'm breaking down the ribeyes and all this stuff. And he's like, how you know how to do that?
Uh-uh.
Back in Cali, Inglewood.
They said, she cheating. How you know how to cut? And I'm like, my dad was a butcher.
That's right, in Inglewood.
And he showed how to do this. They didn't know I knew how to, you know, do the knives and all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, you know how to do this, and they mad, you know. So I'm like,
right.
okay,
you gotta recognize.
Get over yourself, okay? I don't want to be over here anyway.
That's
so
right.
That's right.
I'm trying to get to that bake shop over there is where I'm trying to go. So I get to the bake shop, and I'm training under, you know, another chef, and the stuff she was training me on, I guess she didn't think that I would read,
right?
You know, and kind of follow up. You know, she training me on this, how many ounces of egg is and all that, because I ain't. And so I would take the notes, take the book, go home, study, came back next day, and I was doing stuff better than she was.
Wow.
And she ain't gonna.
Wow. That sounds familiar.
She did not like it at all. So now we got attitude. So I can't work with folk in the, with attitude. It's just me and you in this one little space here. Mm-hmm. So we got to be nice.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, I wind up not finishing. I thought I was going to get a job in there, and that didn't happen. So finished the externship, finished the program, the 16-week program. Graduated with honors, valedictorian, gave the speech and all that, and, you know, got my little top hat and all that. So now I'm finished. I'm done with culinary school. So what's next? You know, so now it's business. I got business on my mind, on my brain, you know. I want to open up my own shop. So we're going to fast forward all the way up, and I find a building. Mm-hmm. This is 2011, 2012, somewhere around in there. So I say, I want this place, and I wind up getting the place, rented it out, and shoestringing it still, because you don't have no capital. You still don't haven't saved up no money or nothing, so you just winging it. You're still winging it, you know. Homeless in that place, slept in the back of the restaurant, had nowhere to live. I'm married at this time, so me and my husband, we living in the back of the restaurant, still doing stuff, still catering for people and all this kind of stuff, but it was rough. It was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell anybody that goes into business, you got to have a plan, you got to have some cushion money, you got to have some backup, okay, because all kind of stuff is going to hit you.
Come at you, yeah.
If you're not ready, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. So you got to be ready when you step out there and decide, hey, I want to run my own business.
Yeah.
Because you got to have that money to put away. It's not going to work. So anyway, I'm in the back of the restaurant, homeless, nowhere to stay, and trying to run this place. Okay, that place, it's not going to work here. You know, wrong location, right blueprint. But the wrong location, wrong, no parking, no nothing. Okay, so that don't work. So we come out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second place that I get is now downtown Atlanta, in the heart of downtown. Georgia State University is there. All the food places are there. I'm right next to Food Row. And now I'm not there, but Big Dave's Cheesesteak, it was right next door to me. Had I stayed, I'd have been right next to him.
Oh, wow.
And but now I'm gone, and I'm in this storefront, and I'm trying to run food. And I'm running food from Lithonia to downtown Atlanta, which is maybe about 30 minutes. I'm cooking the food at home, and I'm transporting it downtown. So when I'm transporting it downtown, that's it. What I got in my trunk, that's it.
Wow.
When it runs out, there's no more food to produce, you know, because you can't go all the way back.
Right.
Because I'm in a storefront, like a clothing storefront.
Right.
To where it's just a shell. And I'm up on the stage like a mannequin, but I'm really moving and cooking food. People come by the window, see me cooking and all this stuff. So now they're curious. They want to come in. I got lines. I got lines out the door.
Because
they got a hold of these grits. They said, I don't know what you done to them grits, but them grit bowls are fire. And then they had the cake. And they said, the cake, I don't know what you did to it, but it's good.
Yeah.
And so I built a following there in downtown Atlanta. And my husband at the time was working with me. And he was going through some complications with his health and all that. And I'm trying to keep up with that and run the business and make sure that he all right. And this and that wasn't working. And we wasn't making the rent. And because I couldn't produce any more food, I didn't have a full kitchen.
Right.
And I said, I can't do this no more because I got to take you to the doctor. So I got to close up shop. So one day I'm open, one day I'm closed. customers getting all confused. So long story short, my husband moved here to North Carolina because his family was here,
mm-hmm.
and I followed my husband. And again, like my mother did, my dad,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
he gone. My husband gone.
Right, right.
And I'm still in Atlanta.
Wow.
Now, he came here to, you know, make sure he get his health and all that. I said, well, we married. Now, wait a minute. You went down to North Carolina to get yourself situated, you know, and transfer and all that stuff. I said, so you coming back? And he was like,
nah.
Steph, I think you might going to have to come this way. And I said, dang, 18 years in Atlanta, now I got to move to North Carolina. That's wrong with
that. Yeah, boy, I swear.
So, hey, I packed up and closed the shop up June 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a U-Haul truck, moved everything out of the jail,
mm-hmm.
and I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Got here June 17th, and I opened up again over in this building behind us,
mm-hmm.
November 2017. And that's how I wound up here. And I've been here now for 5 years. And yes, it was a struggle along the way.
Oh, I can imagine.
Before I left Atlanta, I didn't have a whole lot to put in that U-Haul truck because I lost two storage units. I lost two storage units that had all of my equipment in it.
Oh.
All of my equipment. The first one is gone. I had all my cookbooks, everything in there, gone. Couldn't pay the rent for the store. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So these are the obstacles. When you don't have that money,
mm-hmm.
that cushy money, you can't keep up. So I had to let all that stuff go.
Yeah.
So when I came here, I had nothing.
Wow.
I had nothing. Nothing to open up with here but the little stuff that I was able to salvage.
Wow.
And then the stuff that I'm telling you, I went to the thrift stores, I went to yard sales, and every time I went to a space, I'm looking for stuff to bake with.
Yes.
I still got stuff back there to this day that I have for 10 years that
wow.
I cannot let go. My mother tell me, you need to get that Cuisinart thing to chop this stuff up real fast. You can't be chopping it with your hand. I got a chopper that I got out of the yard sale for $1. To this day, I still use it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I've had it for 10 years.
That brings back
It brings back, I'm telling you, it's going on a shelf. And when I get the stuff that I'm supposed to have, I'm going to say, that's what I used to use.
That's right.
Right,
that's
there.
That's right.
That I started with. And it'll remind you to remain humble.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remain humble. Becoming an entrepreneur, you have to.
Yes.
You really do. And you have to know who's leading you, who's guiding you.
Yes.
It might look crazy to somebody else, but dang, why is she doing it like that? Because this is the way God wanted to go. He know that you're going to tell that testimony and you're going to give him the glory.
That's right. And you got to follow.
And
ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
You have to follow.
So you're here in Gastonia, and we absolutely love you being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know probably some of the people that's watching on Facebook is looking at these cakes right here. Because I've been sitting here looking at them like Martin, the Thanksgiving special, when he was looking at them turkeys. I've been sitting here looking at them. So tell the listeners a little bit. We don't have much time left, but we gonna squeeze it in.
Okay.
Tell them about these, those delicious little cakes.
Okay. These are bite-sized cocktail cakes. This
mm-hmm.
is the original sweet potato cake.
And this is home. Fanny Cakes is home of the original sweet potato cake. So
okay.
Y'all make sure y'all know that.
Make sure y'all know that, okay? It took me 2 years to do this, to get this cake right, okay? I tried everything. I tried puree baby food sweet potatoes. I tried them mashed up. I tried every kind of way. I was not getting what I wanted. I wanted the whole vision and the concept came from here first.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want to do a cake, a sweet potato cake that tastes just like a potato pie. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to eat like a cake. It won't have the crust like the pie.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to taste like the pie.
That's crazy.
Yes.
And I kept playing with it, playing with the rest of it. I said, that's not it. That's not it. I'm not tasting what I want. And it took 2 years for me to get what I wanted. So now this cake tastes like a pie. And people who do not like sweet potatoes will contest to this, that I can eat that.
Yes.
I don't like sweet potatoes, but I can eat that.
Yeah, you give me a sweet potato, I look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
But that...
This one, you can
eat. That's on a whole nother level.
And the spice is there. I mean, you can taste the sweet potatoes in there. And I did research on sweet potato cakes, and some people put raisins in them. Because I was like, is there a sweet potato cake out there? Let me Google, you know, since they got all the new technology.
Mm-hmm.
Let me Google and see what's going on with the sweet potato cake. And I saw people, and I haven't seen mine.
Mm.
I haven't seen one like this. And I said, okay, that's it. That's the cake. And so I got like 15 orders now for Christmas for sweet potato cake.
Wow.
And alone, you know, outside of all the other ones I have, but it's 15 for the sweet potato cake. That's
yes.
the one they want. So this is the signature cake for Fanny Cake, just like we have the signature grits for Fanny Cake.
Yeah.
This is on the dessert side. This is the signature cake.
Yeah.
And everything else follows behind that. So
I have to try. We have to try the grits. We haven't tried the grits yet.
Okay.
But that's fine. Mm-mm.
Yeah, the salmon patty too is what they want.
Mm-mm.
We almost sold out of those today. And they say that the salmon patties taste like a patty that their grandmother made. They don't know what I did to it, but it's popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's very popular.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Yeah, so you guys got to get down here. Come and just hang out with us. We're going to have Kadir this weekend.
Yes.
On Saturday morning. He's going to do some live music for us.
Yeah.
While you guys are entertained and eating good breakfast. I'll try to have some desserts if I can get to them. And you just remember this. I'm a...
That's okay. She always do that.
I'm a one-woman show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So as I get to things, I get to them things I might not be able to get to because I'm prepping, I'm shopping, I'm doing the cakes, I'm doing all the breakfast, and I have my chef Dingo who executes everything that I prep. So it's kind of difficult for me to sometimes get to, but my son just reminded me tonight. He said, I know you're doing that show, but please have some desserts in that case tomorrow when we come in. He said, because they be looking at me like, you told me.
Yeah. You leave him out front to fight that.
Said, you don't know what I get up on the front end. And said, please try to have some cakes out there so I don't have to keep telling her, oh, she going to have some tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that.
That's
so
right.
Once we're done with this, that's what I'm going to do tonight.
Wow.
I'm gonna bake.
Well, I know The Gift and Dre Lay that's coming to perform Saturday morning, they say they want some breakfast from you.
Okay.
They say they want some breakfast. I'll be in here myself, you know.
We're going to feed all of y'all.
Lord have mercy.
We're going to be prepped up real good. Friday night, we're going to be prepped up real good Saturday morning. So everybody's going to eat. Okay.
Yes, we are. Tell them where they can come to get some of this good.
We're open from 7:30 to 12:30, Tuesday through Friday,
mm-hmm.
Saturday 9 to 12:30, and we're located at 103 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Way, downtown Gastonia, in the heart, historic district of Gastonia. So you guys need to come on down. You can call in your orders at 980-888-4040, and we also have DoorDash. So you can look us up on DoorDash, Fanny Cakes Bakery Cafe, and you can have your order delivered straight to you. It'll be good and hot, just like if you walked in and sit down at the table and eat it at grandma's house.
Mm.
So just come on in here because we're doing everything from scratch and with love.
Yeah, and I can attest to that. They do everything from scratch. Not those box bakers like me. So all y'all box bakers, we're going to have to do right. We're going to have to do a little better than baking out the box. Box bakers. I bet you they're going to be mad at me for that.
You will not find a box back here. If you do, it's going to say swans down. That's cake flour. Or you're going to find a 50-pound bag of cake flour. Okay?
Wow.
Not cake mix.
Yes.
Wow.
Flour.
Wow.
Okay? That's how it's done. So.
I am so happy to have had you on the show. And this is just the first of many. I'm happy. I can't wait for you guys to really sit down and listen to this show. I got a lot of people that listens to the show afterwards. But tomorrow, you guys have to watch the season 3 premiere of Shop Talk, where we're going to have Miss Stephanie Roundtree on Shop Talk. And she's going to you're going to get a little bit more in depth of her journey tomorrow on Shop Talk when you watch the premiere of season 3. And I know that you're going to get something out of this. I can feel it. Somewhere out there, you have touched some young entrepreneur who's ready to make things happen for themselves. And I think that it is definitely something that has to happen in this community. We have to be able to start connecting with one another. We have to. So thank you with everything for coming on the show. Make sure you tune in. Go get your tickets for January the 14th. And, oh, Lord, she's going to make me snatch one of those things. As I tell you guys each and every day, we love you guys. The greatest love we know is the love of God, because he gives it to us each and every day. You guys have definitely, and I mean definitely, been live in the day with Jay.
And Trey.
See you tomorrow. Peace.